Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our first reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter, is recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter. We've gone a little bit out of order chronologically. We were reading from the fourth chapter last week, but we're jumping back into a miracle that happens very early in the church. There's a lame man sitting at the beautiful gate, I think it is, going to the temple, and Peter and John have nothing to give him money-wise, but they heal him, and he enters the temple with them, leaping and dancing and shouting for joy, or some sort of phrase like that. Now, we're picking up the story of the consequences of their healing this lame man. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our power or piety, we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you deliver over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And in his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in the first letter of John, the third chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in the Alleluia in verse, page 156. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
We are transported back to the first night of Easter. Jesus has appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, When they realized what had happened, they booked it back to Jerusalem double time. They come to the disciples and tell them, Peter was right. We've seen the risen Lord. And we pick up at the beginning of our reading. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, I tried to make that as authentic a cough as possible. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we join in a sermon hymn.
Well, good morning. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I have a question for you this morning. It might seem a little odd, but I'm curious. When was the last time you spoke with God? I'm not talking about a regular conversation as you would have between, say, Roger and I here in front of the sanctuary, where there are two or more people engaging in a conversation where they ask, ponder, and engage with one another, coming to a certain understanding. The conversation I'm after is one that might seem a little one-sided, unless you're engaging a deep conversation with a volleyball about how to get off a deserted island, and you're yelling out, Wilson. Even then, that's a little one-sided. But yet, there are times where you and I, where no matter how much we cry out and waiting for an answer, it seems that answer doesn't come. We get the impression that's either far away or it will never come at all. Prayer can feel like that sometimes, when the conversation feels entirely and forever one-sided. There's no immediate answer, no immediate rebuttal, no immediate engagement from the other person on the other line. However, even with that being said, you and I are told to pray. We are told to speak with our God at all times and all places. We are told that he hears the cry of his people, that he listens to us no matter how old we are, no matter where we are, he listens even when we don't. We are given a promise that only God can uphold, and that is that he will always listen to the cries of his people. And that's why Psalm 4 is so interesting this morning. The second psalm in the whole book attributed to David. A psalm that highlights that frustration, that fear and anxiety of a man, a king for that matter, who we grew up learning was always dependent upon God no matter what. And here we come to the start of this psalm. hearing this lack of confidence coming from David when he prays, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Why would such lack of confidence fill the words of David? It's not that he's doubting God after all this time, is he? After all, God was the one who's been with him forever. God was with him when he slew Goliath. God was with him when he hid him from Saul and his men. And God was even the one who told the prophet Samuel to anoint young David as the next king. And after all this, why start doubting now? The best answer to this question is, well, we don't know. It could be that this psalm and number 5 are continuations of his thoughts and troubles, as we hear in Psalm 3, which is attributed to David while he's fleeing from his own son, Absalom, who led a rebellion against him because of what happened to his half-sister. Or it could be, well, something else entirely. I mean, the life of David is marked with war, trouble, betrayal from both his enemies and his own family. But yet, as we continue through this psalm, David seems to be plagued by someone or a group of people, and they seek nothing more than to destroy him. I mean, listen as he continues. "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." It seems here that the ones here plaguing David are only interested in one thing: seeking to destroy him. Plaguing him because David has something that they don't. What a lot of commenters made very clear is that these men whom David is praying about have nothing. The only thing they have in this world is emptiness and vanity. As he even says, they turn after vain words and seek after lies. For their only goal is to put David down. And for what? We don't have an answer for that. So what is the problem that David is facing? Is it simply that there are people who just hate him? That those who despise his rule and reign? I mean, sure, after the death of Absalom, David mourns the death of his son, only to be railed against by Joab, who said, "You love those who hate you and hate those who love you." Sure, people don't always agree with David. That's very clear. David had his enemies, the Philistines, and all those who stood in the way of those who wanted to harm the people of God. This list could go on forever. But the problem that David is facing really is a matter of faith. It's kind of hidden in these words. As we go back to verse 2, "How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" The problem we're coming to, at least what we can discern from this psalm, is that it becomes a matter of faith. It boils down to where our trust is placed. And for some, that trust is not placed in God, but in the things of this world. I know we've heard this before, and we're going to hear it many times after. But this has been an issue that has been plaguing the people of God for centuries. It's kind of odd that we could actually hear from someone like David in the Old Testament actually praying for these people, praying for them to turn from their ways. And yes, we hear the prophets who call the people to repentance, call them to turn away from their ways of thinking, to turn back to God. We hear that. But here in the psalm, we actually get to hear from just a regular person praying that they will turn away, that they will turn towards God, and that this madness would stop. But it's this oppositional way of thinking that leads his people to discredit David. Rather than cling to life, they cling to death. Rather than find joy and comfort in the only one true God, they worship something made by man. Instead of going after the creator of the universe, they rather chase after the creature. And this isn't new. This isn't far from what we face still today. We encounter a world that only wants to discredit our faith, because to them, it makes no sense. Like David, we are railed by those who don't understand the faith that we have, who refuse to engage with it. A faith that finds more joy in God than a bountiful harvest of crops that come in the fall. But yet, even when this happens, even when we encounter those who seek our downfall because of this faith, because we cling to God and cling to nothing else, this is what we deal with. But yet, we hear something good for this. And Luther even highlights this, especially in his explanation of the first commandment. He writes, "Whatever good thing you lack, look to it, look to me for it, and seek it from me. Whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, crawl to me and cling to me. I myself will give you what you need and help you out of every danger. Only do not let your heart cling to or rest in anyone else." Cling to God. That is what's being made clear here in the psalm. As we move this way through the rest of the psalm, as we move past David praying for these people, seeking that they will seek God in the end, something's becoming clear. The lack of confidence that we first heard in the very first lines of David at the very beginning are changing to hope. The focus moves from what he is facing to what he has received from God. His words soon become overwhelmed with this feeling of hope. It is as if David is throwing off that weighted blanket of frustration, fears, anxiety, and those troubles that he are facing. And what is left are the words of peace and comfort that can only come from God. Listen to what he says next. "There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.' You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Here it is. The full assurance, the full confidence of faith in God. It's amazing how that in this one psalm, David goes from one lacking confidence, worried about his troubles, praying for those who need God, and in the end, highlighting what God has done for him and the peace that God gives to him alone. It's these blessings that he's received, these blessings that indeed God hears him, that in all the world, that there is nothing else that brings David more joy than the words of God. There's nothing else that brings him greater happiness than the blessings he has received from the Lord. These blessings are not just joy and happiness and comfort, but they remove what he is facing. They remove what he was facing at the beginning of this psalm. The trouble seems to be taken away in prayer and replaced with the peace that can only come from God. Finally bringing rest to David physically and spiritually. For that is how this psalm is to be understood. In the history of the church, this psalm has been used as a psalm before bed. And the rule of St. Benedict, published about 530 AD, It's a book established for monks to use, a time how to prepare themselves, how to live Christian lives, worthy lives of the Lord. And here this psalm has been used as one to comfort yourself as you head to bed, asking for God to remove the troubles, to remove this frustration, these anxieties, and to be left with this peace. And that's how we are still to understand this today. That is what prayer is for us. It is prayer is a chance for us to take what we have, what the fears that we are faced, and to leave them with God, and to leave with that peace that He brings us. It's where we take everything that troubles us, our fears, our frustrations, our anxiety, and leave them with God, and that's it. Leave them with Him. Don't take them to bed. Don't fall asleep on them. Prayer is this wonderful chance for us to speak with God, to go before the Father, asking for His help, for His wisdom, His courage, to look to Him for all things, praising His name for the blessings that we have received. We go before Him for that same hope and peace and comfort that David sought from Him here in this psalm and others like it. We go with full confidence of the faith that we have in the Son who speaks on our behalf to the Father. And yes, there will be times when we will lack confidence in our prayers. We'll face times of doubt where we'll be convinced that no one else is listening to our cries. For that is what this world wants us to believe, doing everything it can to distract us, to remind us, oh, there's no one out there. There's no God. But that's the world. They have no assurance. They have no confidence. What the world has is nothing but emptiness, who loves nothing more than vanity and lies. And they cannot understand the faith that we have in our God. But for you and for me, we have the same confidence of David at the end of this psalm. We should always turn to the Father with the full assurance that He will hear us. For He has heard His people again and again. And He has answered them by sending us our salvation in His Son. He sent everything we need in this life and in the next to come. This is our confidence. So let us boldly and confidently pray to our Heavenly Father. Who cares what the world thinks? For we have the God who hears us. And that is why with David, we can say, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.